You're listening to the HR Happy Hour Show with hosts Steve Bowes and Trish McFarland. Since 2009, the HR Happy Hour Show has been bringing you thought leaders, workplace and technology experts, academics, and more to take on the most important and interesting topics impacting work, human resources, technology, and the workplace. Learn more and listen to all the show archives at www.hrhappyhour.net.
Hey, welcome back. HR Happy Hour Show. What's happening? My name's Steve Bowes. Trish McFarland is with me, of course. Trish, what's happening?
Hi, it's great to be back. We've had a couple weeks off here, so it's nice to get back to the grind, right?
It is nice to be back. Let's just get this out of the way. This is HR Happy Hour 186. We are tentatively titled what? Look back, look forward, 5 years of the show. We don't really have a title yet, Trish, for the show. So
I love it. Yeah, look back, look forward. I like it.
Look back. I'll write that down. That is not written down. Okay. We're recording this on Monday. It is June 30th, 2014. Last day of June. This is actually a good day to do the show, Trish. The last day of the quarter, sort of last day of half of the year over with, kind of a good, you know, reset point of the whole year, if you will, I think.
I agree.
So we're just back from SHRM. We were at SHRM last week, had a good time in SHRM, had a good presentation. What'd you think of how SHRM went for you, Trish? I know you wrote about it on the Brandon Hall blog, but what'd you think of SHRM?
You know, I did. It was funny. Coming back, this is, I don't know, maybe my fourth or fifth, I don't even remember at this point. There have been a few. I feel like every time I go, I either have a different focus or something is different about my job or something is different that I'm looking for when I'm there. So this time it was much different because not just being a speaker with you and getting to do a session on technology, I really kind of wrote about how it felt transformative a little bit. So, you know, there are a lot of critics out there thinking that SHRM is very archaic, and I've probably been one of those critics in the past, but I do feel like when I really look, maybe along the lines of the theme of what we're doing even with the HR Happy Hour, if you look back 5 years, 6 years, as to what it would have looked and felt like going to a SHRM annual event, I think it's very, very different from what you get today. And it's much better because there's so much going on around technology, around innovation, and around just HR professionals feeling more empowered and being risk takers. Again, there, you know, we haven't gotten all the way probably where we need to be, but I think if you just give it a look in the rearview mirror, it's fine. We're doing just fine, and they're making some good headway. So overall, kudos to SHRM. I had a good time. I met some great people that I hadn't met before, talked to a lot of vendors that, you know, maybe I hadn't seen in a while. And I think the one thing that stood out for me on the vendor side was that they were saying that they felt like traffic was up, and not only that there were fewer people that were just coming by to have their badge scanned so they could get some free items, they were actually stopping and talking and asking about the solutions. To me, that's a big change, too. So, I don't know. What did you see? What did you think?
I enjoyed the show. I thought I was pleased with how our session turned out, even though it was the last day, the closing keynote, if you will, on a special.
That's right.
I was pretty encouraged by not only just the attendance we had, which I thought was great, but also all the questions we got and all the folks who came up to talk to us. And for folks who don't know, Trish and I presented about, you know, the HR technology selection, evaluation, and, you know, implementation process. And we talked about dealing with vendors and managing things like, you know, the demo process, the RFP process, and so on. And so, you know, it was good, I think, for lots of folks in the audience. I think they felt like it was good information, and lots of questions. It was probably, in fact, we didn't have a lot of pre-packaged content. We had fewer slides probably than we've ever gone to a show with before, and we still barely got through them all, right, because of all the questions. And we could have easily just taken questions for an hour, I think, as well.
You're right. It was amazing, right? I mean, I don't think that I've ever seen, you know, not to give ourselves a pat on the back, I've never seen a session where you just get to ask any question you have about HR technology and how to select it and how to, you know, once you've selected it, then what do you do? So I hope that the people that walked away from that, you know, will have that spark and kind of go and search for more and find out more, which kind of reminds me that we told the people in the session that we would do a follow-up HR Happy Hour show and really expand on some of those ideas. So more to come on that one in the next few weeks. We'll try and get that pulled together and not only invite everyone who was at our session, but anybody else who really wants to learn more about, you know, selection and implementation and just how to go through the process, because you might never have done it before, or maybe it's been a long time and it's changed. So overall, really good.
Yeah, and I think I do want to pull that together when we can, Trish, right? We had lots of folks who expressed interest in continuing the conversation around HR technology and selection and managing and working with vendors. And in fact, we posted up the slides that we used at the presentation. They're posted up on my SlideShare account right now, and I know Trish blogged about them. I blogged about them as well. And the funny thing is I've gotten, I guess, three. I forget what day I posted them, Trish. Probably, I guess this presented on Wednesday. I guess I posted them Thursday. Or maybe even Friday, I can't remember. But I had a nightmare. I'm a little bit in a blur because I had the worst trip home from Sherm ever. It took me almost a full day, by meaning, not just I mean 24 hours. It almost took me 24 solid hours from the time we left. We walked out of that convention center in Orlando, and we drove straight to the airport. It was something like 23 hours later I got back to my house. That's how horrible my trip home was.
Well, I won't say your airline, your choice airline by name, but I think it was your airline's issue.
Yeah,
sure.
It was a copy. Well, there was bad weather, which I guess is no one's fault, really, but there were a number of other extenuating circumstances that made the trip particularly nightmarish beyond the
right
weather. But the so I posted up the slides. Here's the point I was going to make. I was going
to
make it eventually. I posted up the slide, and I'm not going to say who. I've got three emails. You know, people, you know, subscribe to the blogs, right, on emails. A lot of folks still do, or some folks mm-hmm. still do, I guess. And I got three email responses in the subsequent few days, all from vendor company CEOs, three different ones, all writing me back with some comments and some observations and some feedback around the slides that we put up about, you know, the selection and the evaluation process. So it's a keen subject of interest, not just for HR folks, but also on the vendor side as well. And I mean that in a good way. I mean, like, these, then, you know, the vendors, and we put this in our slides, right? And we talked about this. You know, it's in everyone's best interest for these projects to go well and for them to have successful
Absolutely.
Outcomes and generate positive ROI, right? It benefits vendors as well as customers, right? So truly, I think that's why that presentation kind of hit a little bit, resonated a little bit, right? Because we were trying to speak to that as much as we could in the session. But anyway, that was fun, and I enjoyed it, and I hope that, as you said, we'll figure out how to continue that conversation on the show in the next couple weeks.
Sounds good. Yeah, I thought it was a good way to talk about overall partnership. I know that wasn't the original intent maybe a year ago when we had to pitch the idea to Sherm, which is, it's always interesting, too,
right.
And this has come up, you know, before on social media in the recent, you know, few weeks even, about when you have to, you know, pitch an idea so far in advance, you don't even necessarily know what that's going to shake out like. But I think this is a good example where partnership really became the theme of the presentation. And, yeah, it was good.
Yeah, it was good fun. So, anyway, a good trip, good presentation. Thanks for folks who maybe catch the podcast as a result of seeing us out at the session, hopefully. It's good about getting out there, too, right? Trish, getting out, you know, you get around a lot and talk to a lot of audiences. It's fun to introduce folks to the blogs and to the show, you know, and the other things that we've been, you know, together or, you know, separately we've been up to, right, in the last few years. And
mm-hmm.
I guess that was the other thing we wanted to talk a little bit about today on the podcast. We don't have any guests today, just Trish and I. So, folks, we're listening to the podcast, waiting for some great guests. There's no guests. Just the two of us today, so
we're
deal with that for the next 20 minutes. I actually like this. Guests are a hassle. I don't think we need guests anymore. Can we just do the show without guests?
No, but it's fun. You know what? It's fun to do once in a while, and I'll kind of rat you out a little bit. So whenever I was working a corporate gig, we would occasionally talk when I was driving either to or from work, usually to work. And, you know, we'd get off on some topic, and I'd get all fired up, or you'd get all fired up, and we'd go through 20 minutes of disagreeing and ranting back and forth or whatever, sometimes agreeing. And then at the end, we'd both say, like, oh, we should have recorded that, you know. So hopefully, I don't know, maybe we should do it once a month or something where it's just more like talking about what's
great.
Top of mind.
I would. I mean, I remember a few of those conversations. I remember one about interviewing. I don't remember specifically what the thing was about interviewing.
I remember.
I think we argued
or not you should test someone, and it was for a project manager role, and it was you were all fired up that you shouldn't, like, test someone on the spot about their project management skills, for example, and I was all for it.
Oh,
it was
a writing sample. I remember now. It was a writing sample. That was what it was. Give me
2-week advance notice for, you know, writing something that's going to be in the job that you're going to do. If you can't sit down and start doing that job or demonstrate it within a few minutes, then there's an issue, right?
Yeah, and I thought it was kind of a setup, a bit of a trap, and I didn't like it. I did not. I was not happy when I heard about that story. But that was it, yeah, and we probably argued for 30 minutes about it. But
I'm sure we did.
I believe I was right at the end.
But, I'm pretty sure I was right, but no, you know, that's another one. We'll save that one for a future show because I think there are a lot of topics like that, though. We have a little bit different views. You know, I'm coming at it from more of a practitioner view, and you're coming at it either from a vendor view or for being an applicant in that particular case or, you know, whatever. Not you,
right.
But someone you knew. So, yeah, I think that it's always interesting to get different perspectives on when you're listening into a podcast. So we'll try and keep it lively.
Yeah, so, right. And so, I mean, I think so, yeah, we were talking at Sherm about this. Like, oh, yeah, let's, you know, we've got some things lined up. We've got some shows to do. It's good to talk to folks. I mean, we do run into folks who do know the show, right? Certainly, I know we, you know, in the places we go, some folks have heard the show. We've been doing the show for a while, right? So in one form or another, I've been doing it for a long while. Oh, my God. So for folks who maybe are new to the show, I thought, you know, we started doing the show way back in 2009, believe it or not, right? I mean, and I think things were a lot different back then, even though it seems it's about this time, maybe it's a little sooner. We passed the official 5-year anniversary, I guess. I don't actually remember when it is, but It was 2009 when we started doing these, and I think things were a lot different back then. It feels to me that sort of the online community, the social community, blogging, podcasting, I shouldn't expect it to look the same or be the same, but I feel like in many ways it's completely different, and one of the few things that, you know, but the show has still been there for a while as well, so I think it's interesting. I don't know. How do you think? I mean, you sort of came to the show right from the beginning as well, right? You listened to the show, I know. And I don't know what you think about how it's changed or how things more in general have changed over the years.
Yeah, I think that it's definitely different. You know, a lot of what we started 5 years ago, not we, you and I personally, even though some of that, you know, with HR Evolution or HR Happy Hour, a lot of that just came organically from there being a void. So when it came time for you to start HR Happy Hour, I remember it was just a group of people online who didn't know each other who really just wanted to get together and talk about HR and whatever that meant. And then it was a way to build relationships and get to know each other. And so to me, I guess it's gone from feeling much more personal, and the same with HR Evolution. It was smaller. It was much more intimate and personal feeling. And it's really grown into something that's a little bit more common, a little more mainstream. It's much more acceptable so that when I think about the fact that we were at, you know, a Sherm annual conference and we're telling people, hey, listen to our podcast where we're interviewing, you know, CEOs from various companies and we're talking to practitioners about different things and we're talking about compliance or whatever else, it's definitely much more acceptable and approachable, you know, for us to do that. And it doesn't seem quite as bizarre, maybe, or quite as unique. There's also same with blogging. I was just going to say, like, with the podcast, you can now find a million HR blogs. You can find, you know, 100 different HR-type radio shows. But I think it's being able to figure out what is it that's drawing people in episode after episode and then being able to maintain that. And you have to really put time into it. And so that's the one thing I've seen over the 5 years of both blogging events and this show is that when I first found out how much time, how many hours you put into preparation for, you know, for a show where you have an actual guest, it was mind-blowing.
Right.
Truly, that you're spending hours and hours. You might have to read a book. You might have to do research on a website. You might have to have several calls with a PR person, depending on, you know, if you're dealing with a company. Same with blogging. You know, the amount of research that goes into some of the posts, it's quite a lot. And I think that people that aren't that familiar with some of these different outlets, or they think, oh, I'm just going to jump in and have my own show, that's fine. But if you don't put in the hours of work that go behind it, it's just not sustainable, and people won't really keep coming back for more. So,
I'd agree with that for sure. I mean, not to just sit here and say, oh, this is a lot of work, whoa, is us. But, I mean, to do them, I think, like anything else, and you know, to do them well and to make them valuable and feel like what you're doing has some, maybe some enduring value, or at least, you know, in that near term, when you're near-term value to folks who are listening or reading the blog, I think you do have to put in more effort probably than some folks maybe would realize. I also think that you need to step away from it too, right? So whether it's the blogs or the shows, I think you can, there's a danger of just grinding too much of it out, right, day after day after day, or week after week after week. I think the show's gotten a little better, honestly, as we've done relatively fewer of them in time periods, if you will. Like, we're not trying to force one out every single week, necessarily. We're doing them when it makes sense, when we have a good topic, a good guest, when we have enough time to think about it, too, right? And we're not just forcing them out because it makes sense to every week.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think it makes a difference. And I think people don't necessarily have to expect it every single week on the same day. But I will say this, I mean, when we're thinking about planning ahead, one of the things you and I have talked about recently was that we do miss the live shows occasionally. So I think being able to incorporate the evening live show, because having people who are tweeting live in the back channel and discussing things and throwing out new conversation points is really helpful, and it changes the energy. But as someone who travels a lot and uses podcasts for that purpose when I'm on a plane, you know, I can also see the value of having shorter 20, 30-minute little hits of information that I can listen to in an airport or when I'm traveling. So both kind of work for me, and I like that we do both.
Yeah, and that's our plan. So we wanted to talk a little bit about that, too, like what we've got in mind for the sort of the second half of 2014 interest. As you said, we've got some live shows in mind we want to do. We've got some lots of folks queued up. And, you know, as we said, we're both busy sort of with our normal day jobs, if you will. But we've got, you get hit up all the time, so do I, about folks who want to come on the show. So we'll be scheduling, you know, more regular podcasts probably in the second part of this year, plus some live shows as well, from some events that we'll be out in the remaining part of the year. So, I mean, I guess the short story is, hey, the show's still here. This is 186 episodes, driving towards 200. Trish, we have to start thinking, though, like, what are we going to do for episode 200? Like, we probably need to do something really cool and fun. So we've probably time to think about that a little bit. So.
That's a good idea. Now we need to, like, have a live show somewhere. I don't know.
Yeah,
we'll have to figure out when that might occur. Right.
Exactly. Once we figure out about when it's going to be, my guess would be, let me see, 14 more shows. It's June. It'd be in the fall. Maybe
it'll be like
HR Evolution. Yeah, HR Evolution
in
November. It could make sense to do the 200th show there. That might work. All right, we'll figure it out. Hopefully, we'll get there. We will.
So
the other side,
I have a question for you.
Go ahead, Trish. Yep.
I was going to say, I mean, I've been on for the last year and a half as a regular host, and before that sporadically, but certainly as either a guest or as a listener. Of all the shows you've done, what are like two or three of your favorite, most favorite ones? What, do you have any, or can you think back all the way to the beginning and see what really sticks out?
Yeah, we've had some great shows. I mean, favorite, I love, and I've talked about this, I talk about it frequently. I thought the show we did with Sherry Turkle was a great show a couple years ago now, about sort of social technologies and digital technologies sort of changing our relationship with each other and with our families and friends. I loved that show. I think it was way ahead of its time as well, quite frankly. The subject matter that Sherry wrote about in her book and what she was talking about then, still one of my favorites. I've loved some of the live shows we've done. We did shows at live from HR Evolution a couple of times. The Monster Red Carpet show was a hoot. I mean, it was crazy.
Oh, that
remember
was crazy.
That, Mike?
Yes, I do. Now
yeah.
I say that, I do.
That was fun. I mean, certainly the shows, when the show, you know, and again, 2009, 2010, right, the time frame I'm thinking about, we were doing the show pretty much every week and always live. We didn't start moving
always,
to this
right.
kind of pre-recorded podcast format until much, much later. So, you know, when and Nature Happy Hour was kind of a new and kind of a, I wouldn't say it was a unique thing, but it was still kind of novel. And the community, while it was small still, right, the online community and the number of folks who listened to the show, were never really, back then, wasn't millions of people, wasn't thousands of people probably, but it was a very active group, right, very passionate group, and they did sort of, for a while anyway, until I, quite frankly, got just burned out with the pace of it. But
yeah.
It was fun on Thursday nights at 8 o'clock when we used to do that. That was the time slot for the show for a while.
Right. Many years.
Some of those live shows just with all the guests and the calls and just was a lot of fun. So then I've had fun doing other shows too, like just where, you know, with a certain author whose book I appreciated had on. Dave Ulrich's show was great. He was super, as you'd expect, right, when we had Dave Ulrich on the show a couple of years back. More recently, I mean, I think the shows that you and I have done that have been a little bit more informal, but also been, like, where we've been in front of people, too, like on site, like the shows we've
mm-hmm.
done, you know, even just very recently, right? Shows we've done out at the Equifax event, at the Corner, the Ultimate event,
yeah,
were a lot
that's
of fun.
A good one.
Which one?
The Ultimate one I thought was fun. Also the Oracle one we did this year with Bertrand Dusser, that was...
Oh, yeah, Oracle. I couldn't
he
think
is
of,
so
I couldn't
brilliant.
Think of the third one, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you're right.
So,
I think there's a different energy when we're live with someone because you're watching their face and you're sort of seeing when their eyes light up, and then that can kind of help us take off and, you know, really get a conversation going in a whole different direction maybe than we even planned.
Yeah, so I mean, I've enjoyed doing this, you know, and I've said to you many times, there's not much glory in this necessarily. It's fun to do, and I'm proud of the show. I'm proud of everything that sort of happened way back from the beginning. All the way through until now. I'm glad it's still going on, and you know, anyway, no, I didn't want to make this too much of just us talking about the show, but it is fun to look back, though, for sure, and so I'm
well,
glad
can I
that
give my,
you might
my
be good
favorite?
Time to... Yeah, go ahead, yeah.
So both of these happened before I was on as a host, but was definitely a listener back then, and the first one that's my probably utmost favorite is Why from Gettysburg. But I guess it was a guest host, right, since I was there. But
you were there,
really,
right, yeah.
I
yeah.
still get people commenting on that, and I don't know if it's just because when you search Gettysburg, it comes up. I've had lots of people who
yeah.
aren't
right.
actually listen to that show. But something about just because going to Gettysburg, the fact that we had read Killer Angels, just recently one of our friends of the show, John Nicolasian, said, well, you all made me read the book before the show so that – you know, we actually had listeners reading the book along with us before we ever got there. So that was kind of cool that it was a way to, you know, get everybody involved in a little bit of our country's history that never seemed all that interesting to me before, and it was really special. The other one was, that one I looked it up, it was episode 51, so that was way back when,
okay.
right, 2010. And
yeah.
And then one that was personally really good for me that I've listened to several times since then was episode 109, which was the creative approaches that you did with Matt Filman.
Matt Filman, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Matt is like my favorite show you've ever done, I think because not only do I love his blog and his writing and the videos that he does, but where you take someone who really can take your problem, your issue, whatever it is, and think about it creatively. And to me, that's such a good skill that HR leaders need to have. So to hear someone who's not in HR but that does that so, so well and so creatively, it was just, if people haven't listened to episode 109, I would say go to Blog Talk Radio, look up HR Happy Hour 109, and give Matt Stillman a listen because that was
so
a great
51
one.
And 109, those are good ones. I should have prepared for this a little more with some show numbers. But you know what I'll do, Trish? Like when this show gets ready to post and we wrap it, I'll link back to some of the shows that we mentioned, the Gettysburg show,
that.
The Matt Stillman show, the Sherry Turkle
yep.
show, the Dave Ulrich show, and whatever else we come up with. Because you're right, I think some of these, you know, not all the shows hold up 5 years later, but many of them do, I think.
Many
of them
do.
Many of them are fun. And,
hey,
yeah,
you know what?
Out of balls.
I've
doing.
I've given you this compliment before too. So the show that you did with Sherry Turkle on Alone Together, you know, it was funny because it was like over a year, maybe 2 years after you did that show with her. CBS Sunday Morning did an episode that was about that. And I thought, here is HR Happy Hour setting the bar, you know, several years ahead of CBS. So kudos to you on that one because I had never heard of her until then.
We were on the cutting edge. I had someone on the show, you couldn't make this one, a couple weeks ago. It was the one I did with Lindsay Pollack. Right, who's the author and millennial expert, right? And, you know, I was reading her bio, and this happens occasionally, right, when we have, you know, guests, especially authors on the show or well-known folks. And I'm reading the bio prior to introducing her to the show, and it's, you know, well-known author, you know, she wrote this book or that book, appeared on CNN and written for the Wall Street Journal and for the New York Times. And so and I always joke with them, okay, so on your updated bio, you've got to have appeared on the HR Happy Hour. I want to see that appearance. Credit in your bio from now on. I'll be disappointed. So I think
you've definitely had some great guests. Yeah, they should update their bios.
And honestly, I think we talked about the live shows versus the podcast, and they're both they're different. But doing some of the podcast format that we're doing today, which is a little bit more accessible for folks and a little easier for folks to do, I think also enables us to do a little bit more with the show as well. So we're not always relying on, you know, someone being available at a certain date and a certain time. We can be a little more flexible with our schedule. So, I mean, so anyway, lots of great stuff coming up. And sort of thanks for listeners who sort of indulged us with a little trip back on memory lane. Lots of really cool stuff coming up, though. And I think, anyway, I'm just excited, and I thought it would be good, Trish, as we talked about the show, going forward for folks who listen and subscribe to the show, maybe get it on iTunes or whatnot, just to know that, we're still here. We're planning on going strong for the remainder of 2014 and a lot of really cool stuff ahead, I think, right?
Absolutely.
Cool. So what else real quick? I know we've got to sort of tie this up in about five more minutes. We want to talk about a couple of the events coming up or just summer plans. We've got a couple of really cool things coming up. Why don't you start with that, Trish? I know you've got a pretty busy calendar, even though it's summer, you no rest for the weary.
Well, good. Well, you know, luckily I'm at a point now after Sherm where I'm going to be home. I think about 6 weeks before I travel. So really, I'm just focused in on a lot of research and writing for Brandon Hall Group. So encourage everybody to go out to BrandonHallGroup.com, BrandonHall.com, that is, sorry, and see what we're working on. We've got a lot of great HR information, especially coming out in the next month or two, and I'm excited to be part of that team as it's growing. We've added on 3 new analysts in this month alone, and just looking for some great things. And then in August, we have Missouri Sherm, which, oddly enough, being born here in St. Louis and living so close to it all these years, I have never been an attendee or speaker at Missouri Sherm, so I'm excited to be a speaker this year, and you are as well, but not together. So
yeah,
that'll be
I'm coming to Missouri. I know I'm sort of surprised, but pleased as well. So I'm glad that worked out. I'll be glad to come to Missouri this summer.
Yeah,
not too hot
I'm
in the summer in August, isn't it?
You know what I was thinking? It just sort of hit me the other day when we were at Sherm Annual, and, you know, we kind of usually ask, like, hey, anybody here from, you know, Rochester, or when I said from St. Louis, and there were a few hands. I felt so great having people there from my home state, and it was so exciting.
Yeah.
How am I gonna hold it together when I have a whole room full of people from my home state? Like, that's just going to be it might be too much. I don't know if I'll be able to do it. We'll see.
I was surprised. I think there was two or three, maybe even four people from Rochester in our room at Sherm. I was stunned because usually there's no one, so that was pretty fun as well. So yeah, and then I know, you know, in September timeframe we're going to be taking the show up to the Achievers event in Toronto, which is going to be really exciting as well.
Absolutely, yeah, that'll be good. Again, we like doing the live versions, and whether that's in an event or some other type of get together. For me, that's always more fun because, again, we can grab several people and get them on the show live, and just the energy level, I think.
Yeah, we'll record one out in Missouri, too. We'll, fig- we'll get some of the Missouri HR Mafia together and record something from that show as well, because that'll be fun to do and it'll be easy.
Oh, that's a good idea. Cool. See, I hadn't even – you're way ahead of me. I'm, like, so far behind.
There you go. We'll do that there. So cool stuff coming. Also, there's too many things. I'm not going to – I would – you want to mention one thing, Trish, before we sign off. I'm doing the HR Tech Conference, of course, this year, hrtechconference.com. We finally, Trish, the show has our own discount registration code for our listeners, for our HR Happy Hour listeners. So we do. It's simple. So if you go to if you're interested in the hrtechconference.com this year, check out the website, which is hrtechconference.com. You register using promotional code. This is all caps, HHH for HR Happy Hour, HHH14. That's HHH14. That is good for $550 off the full on-site registration rate. That code does not expire. So if you're hearing this months down the road, if it's still before October 7th, you can still make it out to HR Tech Conference. It's October 7th through 10th, Mandalay Bay, Las Vegas. Biggest one yet. Most sessions, biggest expo hall, everything big, big, big. So we're looking forward to seeing as many of you out there as we can, and maybe we'll do a show if we can find the time. It's going to be a little tough in our schedules maybe to pull it off, but we'll try. And so check that out, hrtechhomes.com for me. So, Trish, I guess that's it. We just wanted to have a chat, have a chance to decompress about SHRM a little bit and talk a little bit about the show and where we're heading with the show. We'd love, Trish, I know you get a lot of suggestions. We'd love suggestions. Comments, questions. You can tweet at us on Twitter. Use the hashtag HR Happy Hour. Send us an email. Just let us know what you'd like to see and hear on the HR Happy Hour show in the next 6 months, and we'll do our best to try to help you out. So, what do you think, Trish? Sound good?
I think it sounds good. I just can't wait for the next show. Very exciting.
I know, me too. I'm going to get to work on it. Let's schedule a show soon. So let's talk about it offline, and we'll be back very soon on the HR Happy Hour show. All right, I guess that's it. Trish, final thoughts from you, and we're going to be out of here.
Nope, that's it. Until we meet again live, that'll be the next show.
Very good. In Missouri, it sounds like. So great. So this is the HR Happy Hour show. My name is Steve Bowes. Of course, thanks for me, from Trish McFarlane, from everyone back here at HR Happy Hour HQ. Thanks for listening. Stay with us. Look forward to lots of great shows in the rest of 2014, and we'll see you soon from the HR Happy Hour show.
Thanks for listening to the HR Happy Hour show, your source for information and conversation on work, the workplace, technology, and more. Learn more and listen to all the show archives at www.hrhappyhour.net.
Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.